welcome to From the Frontline. Today in the studio, we have two guests this time, Dr. Peter Hammond, my father, and Ndumiso Zimu. The topic of today, Black Lives Matter, and the potential thought of it being a new religious cult. And this is a very interesting topic and reality that's been popping around on the internet for the past 2 weeks. I want to talk about how quickly this Black Lives Matter movement has resurged on the internet, in people's mindsets, the guilt that it brings to a majority of white people, and especially the young people of my generation, and how quickly they're using their social media to push this platform. Dad, I want to know, what are your just initial thoughts on this Black Lives Matter movement?
It looks like a new religious cult. And if you look at all elements of religion, it's like it's a parody of Christianity, even while it's a contradiction, because the original sin is, well, white, male, straight, privilege. That's original sin. Do they have atonement? No, they don't exactly have atonement, but they require confessions. They require perpetual repentance. They require confessions to their priests. You could say the activists are like priests. They require perpetual revolution. And they've got sacraments, actually. You must participate in protests, riots, looting, and arson. And interestingly enough, Black Lives Matter doesn't seem to care about most black lives. They certainly don't care about the 1,000 black Americans killed by abortion every single day in the United States alone. They don't care about most of the black people, 90-something percent, who are killed in violence, gang-related, and homicides in black communities at the hands of other black criminals. They certainly don't seem to care about the black Christians that we're serving, like in Sudan and Congo, Nigeria, because I suppose they're killed by Muslim jihadists, not so important. So, yes, to me, there's elements of religious cult, and I'm deeply disturbed that you've got to chant a mantra like Black Lives Matter, almost like Caesar is Lord, and you must burn incense before their new idol of today. So I'm disturbed by the movement and its religious zeal.
Mm. Ndumiso, as a real African man, I want to know, what are your thoughts on this as well?
Well, Black Lives Matter, I think you can add on to the fact that it's a cult. I could add on that it's becoming a political entity, as a lot of politicians in the USA are given this legitimacy by marching with the Black Lives Movement protesters and looters and people that cause the violence, like you see on TV, guys like Michael B. Jordan, movie stars, Mitt Romney.
Kanye West.
Yeah. So they give this movement legitimacy and it becomes a political movement in terms of that. And then when you get people that speak out against it being fired from their jobs, like one LA Galaxy player in the USA, a soccer team, his wife tweeted out against Black Lives Matter movement and he gets fired. Mm. Yeah, he didn't do anything.
Just because of his own personal view.
Right. Just his wife tweeted something and he got
his
fired.
His wife.
Right.
I want to know, what do you think is their goal? Because if you look at it from a neutral perspective, you could see, okay, they are wanting to raise awareness about racism and systemic racism and issues that happen towards black people. Looking at that on its own, that could seem like something legit, something genuine. Like, I guess we all as humans could get behind that. But is that the reality of what this is causing and what they are doing to try and reach whatever their goal is?
Well, I think you got to separate what they say from what they do. Mm. So they could say that their end goal is to uplift poor black, previously disadvantaged members of the community. Mm-hmm. But when you look at what they've been burning and looting, it's been in these neighborhoods where mostly black people live in. Mm. So while you are white and wearing a mask and some student that comes from a liberal university burning and looting bus stands and screaming Black Lives Matter and spray painting it, you're burning black people's businesses.
Yeah.
Yes. And you see in one video on Twitter where this one lady is screaming at these young white Black Lives Matter protesters saying, "What about my black life? Does it matter? You're burning my store." And they had nothing to say. So you look at what they say and contrast it to what they do.
And that's what I found most interesting is And the majority of people, all over the internet, people my age, people in South Africa, people in America, they are justifying these acts of violence and this act of looting. And they're saying, no, they've been oppressed for so long. And they often quote Martin Luther King Jr. And they say, rioting is the voice of the unheard. And looking at it from that example, you could maybe understand it. But what I want to know is, how can they still justify it when the origin of all this was George Floyd's death? George Floyd's family, his own brother, said, stop the looting, stop the rioting. George Floyd wouldn't want this, and we don't want this. So Dad, well, what leg do you think they have to stand on right now?
Well, they don't really, because this is not about logic. This isn't about facts. This isn't about reason. This is about optics, and it's fashion, and it's perception. Right. Mm. So what is going on is, you've got a pretext. One needs to understand, and I think people who've seen the Agenda and Agenda 2 film by Curtis Bowers, which is really excellent, well worth seeing, Agenda and Agenda 2, Masters of Deceit is the one subtitle. And as I say, the issue is never the issue. The issue is the revolution. The revolution.
Yeah.
And so the revolutionaries may use rich versus poor, the higher classes from the working classes, the employers and employees, male, female, black, white. They use different issues, but the issues, they never care, because those people suffer the most. So, for example, I remember at a time in my life when I thought, you know, I even described myself as a bit of a feminist, because, well, of course one supports, gee, we like females and femininity. But when I realized the feminist movement was actually anti-femininity. In fact, they're anti-mother, and they say that being a full-time mother is an illegitimate profession. These are the same people, the feminist movement, who want to legalize prostitution, say prostitution is legitimate, and yet they say a housewife has the aspirations of a guinea pig, and being a mother is an illegitimate profession, and they're against the family, and we need to destroy marriage and need to destroy the family. And you have now National Organization of Women with these posters of we are going to make your wife a lesbian. And, you know, things like this. After a while, you realize, wait a minute, the feminist movements claim to be on the side of females, but actually it turns out they're anti-woman. And I would say the same thing with Black Lives Matter.
Anti-woman or anti-femininity?
Well, actually, the anti-femininity and the anti-real woman, because to them, they say a real feminist is a lesbian. So you can't be a wife and you can't be a mother. That is not legitimate. One of their statements is, putting a man on the moon is a good start. Let's put all the men on the moon and turn off the oxygen. And they say a woman needs a man like a fish needs a bicycle. So after a while, you realize that while God made us male and female, and we're not good alone, only part of creation it wasn't good, because man wasn't complete until there was woman. And woman and man complement one another. And we need both. We're both made in the image of God together. But according to the feminist movement, they're actually anti-woman. So what I look at now, you take something like Galatians 1, where Paul gives this challenge. I marvel at you turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there's some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached you, let him be accursed. Anathema. As we have said before, so we say now, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now seek to persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? If I'm still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. So that's the words of the Apostle Paul, Galatians 1, 6 to 10. Anybody coming with any other gospel, and there's lots of other gospels. Well, Black Lives Matter just happens to be one of those other gospels right now. It's the flavor of the month.
Let's look at another thing that a lot of people, particularly my age, are saying on the internet. They're saying, yes, they're looting. Yes, they are damaging property. Yes, they are burning things down. But they are raising awareness. And it just makes me think, at what is the cost that you're wanting to go to in order to get your point heard? If I shoot everyone in the room with a gun just to get one person in the room to understand my point, is that effective?
It might be effective, but it's not ethical, and it's certainly not right, and it's not justified. Mm.
So, in the meantime, I want to know, from your side, you are a black man. You were raised in South Africa. You have the origins of apartheid in the back of your mind, and potentially in your community and such. You've been there, you've done that, you've gotten the badge, you've gotten the t-shirt, you have a lot more things to relate to, in a way, as a black man in this country. What do you think these guys are ultimately going to achieve? And what do you think the negatives and the positives of that are going to be?
Well, I honestly think they're not going to achieve anything. Mm. Because in South Africa, we can take on the Black Lives Movement badge. But to me, black South Africans have no right to take on the Black Lives Movement badge. Because do the Black Lives We Kill during xenophobic episodes matter? We are far from anywhere near on helping African Americans, as our leaders have said. We need to have a talk with America and have a sit down about how they're treating African Americans. They keep quiet and watch other Africans burn in our own country, you know, when we're killing them, you know, as Africans. So do those Black Lives Matter? No. So it's not about that. As Dr. Hammond said, the issue is not the issue.
Okay, well then this brings a question to both of you. Do you think there is any bit of consistency in this Black Lives Matter movement? They talk about your black life needs to matter and it needs awareness to be raised. But if your black life was aborted, doesn't matter. If your black life lived in the Congo and it was killed, no one would really mind. If you were killed, if you were killed in Chicago by a black man, no one would really say anything. And the crime rates, particularly black-on-black crime and death in Chicago, is the highest in America. But as soon as you put a white person on that stigma or on that event of killing a black person, then the rioting starts. Do you think there's consistency?
Well, I don't think there's consistency. Did what happened to George Floyd was a terrible thing? Yes, it was a terrible thing. That cop should be punished to the full extent of the law. But Black Lives Matter have used that to try and take on their own
agenda.
Agenda and goals. And the reason that is the flavor of the week is because the media chose to focus on that.
Flavor of the week.
Evil as it was. Evil as it was. But the media have focused on that. And if every time you throw up stats, you know, as us conservatives and Christians, whenever we argue, we use stats against the emotion and the
facts,
outrage.
Facts don't care about your feelings.
Right, and the outrage and of like liberals on the left. So the fact is, black people in the USA and in South Africa kill more of black people in violent crimes. They attack more people in violent crimes that are black. So the media shines a light on this one instance. I mean, 9 people that were black were killed by police last year.
In America? Or
in America. Okay. Last year. The whole of last year, 9 died in police encounters. And most were justified, some were not justified, right? That's how it happens. That's why cops are cops. They make the decisions we can't, right?
Yeah.
So you're marching and looting a whole country for 9 people when there's, as you said, hundreds and thousands in Chicago every weekend that die from black people killing black people.
Yes. Bear in mind that realistically, this is probably more of a police brutality, an official abusing his authority issue. And there are countless examples of white police abusing white suspects, black police abusing white suspects. White police abusing Hispanics. It's not a racial issue. It's a sin issue. You know, it's not sin, it's skin. It's not skin, it's sin. So the trouble is that a lot of these same liberal people who are marching and looting and so on right now were endorsing the police to arrest joggers, surfers,
or even
businessmen,
even gun owners. Well, what was the narrative prior to this? You shouldn't own a gun. You have, like, let's forget about the Second Amendment in America. You should not have a gun. The police will protect you. The same people who are now saying all the entire police department should be defunded by America. What do you think is going to happen from that? Show me the consistency in that.
Well, it's seriously dangerous. And what we've got from these people, we know what Black Lives Matter is against. What are they for? They are for abortion. Do you know that? They fully support abortion. They don't just support abortion. They support even this Kermit Gosnell, Philadelphia's late-term abortionist, who was cheating. He wasn't doing late-term abortions. He was letting the babies be born alive and then killing them after birth, either strangling them and so on and so forth. And this was documented. Some might have seen the Gosnell film. But of course, if he'd killed them in the womb, they wouldn't have minded. But because he has killed them outside the womb, it was now murder. And Black Lives Matter went out their way to support Kermit Gosnell, even though he's killing overwhelmingly black babies. So the black lives didn't matter when they were being killed by an abortionist, evidently. They support, for example, perversion. They want to dismantle gender privilege. They want to promote transgenderism. They say we are committed to fostering a queer-affirming network. And they say we want to free the world from the tight grip of heteronormative thinking or the belief that all in the world are heterosexual unless he or she disclose otherwise. So they're pro-pornography, they're pro-perversion, they're pro-abortion, they're pro-gender confusion, they're pro-transgenderism. So considering that they are so unbiblical and anti-Christian to the core in what they promote, they're basically a Marxist, socialist, revolutionary, troublemaking group who've put on a veneer of we care about social justice. But in practice, they've actually got a revolutionary agenda which they're trying to drive through. And those well-meaning Christians who, for whatever reason, feel compelled to march under the banner should understand what they're actually associating with.
This is just an interesting statistic on your comments about them supporting abortion. If you want to end systemic racism, this is one of the big movements that's happening in America right now, you must end abortion. Abortion has killed 20 million black babies since 1973. Abortion reduced the black population by 25%. 78% of Planned Parenthood abortion clinics are in or near minority neighborhoods or black neighborhoods. The founder of Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, was, you guessed it, a eugenicist.
Right.
Let's look at the roots of all of this. Let's look at the core of everything that, especially people in South Africa who don't really know much about American politics or the statistics in America, are screaming loud on their Instagram stories and to their friends who don't agree with them that, no, this is a systemic issue and the Black Lives Movement matter is purely to help build up black people. Let's look at it like this. Let's use the same analogy that's used for race. So let's pretend policemen are a race, okay? They are saying, because some policemen are incompetent and do their jobs badly, all policemen are bad. That's just like saying, because some white people in South Africa go hunting, all white South Africans are hunters and they kill animals. That's just like saying, some Hispanics...
or gangsters, mafia, yes, or whatever.
So we must now just say that all of them are gangsters.
Right.
There is no consistency in saying that because some policemen do their job badly or are incompetent, that you must throw that blanket over the entire police force. Exactly the same example that you would use for race.
Right.
Just because some white people may have this stigma or some black people may have this stigma, that's not all of them.
Right.
It's to each person.
Well, that's Christian individual responsibility. And this is the thing that's so disturbing. And that's why I think this Black Lives Matter BLM movement is actually a religion. Because what they've done is they're offering something that's quite nice. I'm not personally responsible for anything. I don't need to repent of any personal sin. I repent of corporate sin, of the privilege of... Basically, I confess my neighbor's guilt because I don't really think I'm guilty of it. So it's a self-justifying, self-righteous way of evading responsibility. And take BLM, for example, where there's all outrage about the system and the systemic racism. But meanwhile, many of them probably are illegitimate parents who don't care for their own children. They didn't hang around to marry the girl. They didn't bring up their own child. And in many cases, they AWOL. They're deserting their duties as fathers. And it's been proven from all the studies that one of the most common denominators of a life of crime and getting into drugs and gangs is being fatherless, when the fathers are missing. So much of these horrible statistics could be dated. If you went back to America pre-1964, before the Welfare Society, and Walter Williams documented this in his book, State Against Blacks, before 1964, when Lyndon Johnson brought in the Great Society, subsidizing people for being illegitimately parents and so on, the black families were more intact, had a lower divorce rate, and more of the children were more likely to be born in an intact family with both father and mother present than afterwards. And now, something in the 68% or more of black children are born in a single parent home without the father present at all, in many cases not even known. Mm. Now, this has come about because you can be a young teenager and you want to get away from home, just get yourself pregnant. The state will now give you money, so dad doesn't need to hang around. I mean, he's just dashing off. He can be in a gang. So they, instead of looking at sociological, personal responsibility, sin issues, or bad socialist economics, subsidizing sin, for example, and encouraging people to be unmarried and in single-parent homes, instead of looking at that, it's so much easier. Let's just blame the system.
Right.
Mm. I'm not to blame. I'm a victim. And so this gospel of victimization and nothing's my fault and everything's someone else's fault, this is very appealing to many people because they don't, and this is why the gospel is so abhorrent to many people, because the gospel cuts at people's pride and it makes us personally responsible and answerable for holy God. And so that's why many prefer this false gospel.
Mm. Dumisa, I want to ask you this again about the consistency of, or the reality of this BLM movement being a cult. The left, or the liberals, the majority of them are behind this Black Lives Matter movement, they say things like, your silence is violence.
Right.
So if you were to speak out on your own opinion, if you were to speak on the history of racism in the Democratic Party and how they exploit the black community for power, and even if you just say anything that isn't pro the leftist agenda or the BLM agenda, they will also say to you, shut up, you are a racist.
Right.
But let's go right back to the beginning of what I just said. That your silence is violence. Do you think there's any bit of consistency in that?
Absolutely not. Your silence is your choice. Mm. If they say your silence means you've chosen one side to be on, then that's them forcing their view on you. And because your silence is violence, they now have a right to be violent towards you, which they are. And it's been documented on film, people get harassed on social medias, and people get fired, people get destroyed, their lives get destroyed because they have not posted a black square on Instagram. They have not shared a post on Facebook, or if they have shared a post on Facebook, they tag somebody, and that somebody might disagree with them, and it's all war on them.
Yeah.
So
This is an interesting, this is a right-wing black American. She said, white privilege is an offensive term to me as a black person. It automatically assumes that I'm inferior, and no matter what I do or achieve, I will never be privileged because I have the disability of being black. I have a privileged life because of the choices I have made. And this brings me to a quote by Ben Shapiro. He said, I haven't seen anyone's life get better by complaining. I've only seen people's lives improve by making choices for themselves and acting on it. So looking at this whole thing, I mean, even in South Africa, we have it big, previously disadvantaged. Yes, we can agree that the history in this country caused a lot of people of color they didn't have the same opportunities.
Right.
But does that mean that because you were put in that opportunity, because you were put in that circumstance, that you must stay there? In my family, math does not run. When it comes to mathematics, when it comes to science, we're not exactly as clued up on that.
Right.
But we don't let that hold us back. We do what we can to overcome it.
Focus on your strengths.
Yeah, right. Focus on your strengths.
But when in South Africa, when Black Lives Matter, which shouldn't even exist in this country, when you say fight the system, fight the power, who are we fighting?
Mm.
The ANC has been in power for 30 years.
Mm.
30 years.
So who do you have to blame now?
Exactly. So when you say vote for change, fight for change, change what? You who have been ruling? So it's pointless to keep on blaming white privilege when the black side of the country has been in a power position for 30 years. And there have been those who have taken the opportunity and have grown out of that previously disadvantaged situation.
Ben Carson is a perfect example.
Right. And it's happening all over the country. It's just that they choose to show those who are still stuck in poverty.
Mm. Yes, I think these facts really destroy the narrative. Because, first of all, if it's so terrible to live under a white majority government like in America, why don't they move to Somalia, where they can enjoy complete freedom? Why don't they go to the Congo or Zimbabwe? I mean, there they've not only got a black rule, but a communist government with all the rules that they want.
Right.
So it's like these people in America who want socialized, communist, everything. Why don't they go to Cuba? There they'll have everything they're after.
Right.
But as some black Americans like Thomas Sowell have pointed out, why is it, if everything's the white person's fault, that black-run towns and police forces still are guilty of the systemic racism? So you've got towns where, like Detroit, where you've got black mayor, black police chief, and they're still rioting because of systemic racism. You've got black governors, black-run states, black-majority neighborhoods, and yet they've got more violence, and they've got more poverty. And then there's countries that are run by black leaders, like the ANC or ZANU-PF in Zimbabwe, but they don't want to look at that. So what this is a false narrative, but it gets more interesting. Because when you start to look at it, as Indemisa was pointing out, you've got a whole lot of these white Black Lives Matter activists burning and looting black stores in black neighborhoods saying Black Lives Matter. And then when you bring up and you start quoting, but Ben Carson or Thomas Sowell or Walter Williams, what do they say? Well, they're not really black. Oh. And then the funny thing is that I've heard this in South Africa too, where somehow real black freedom fighters like Jonas Savimbi, who were fighting the Cubans and the Russians, oh, he's not really black, but he's fighting white colonial oppressors. But the point is, he's fighting communists, which makes him not really black. And Prince Mangosuthu Buthelezi of the Zulus, they even deny that he's really black. Goodness me. Well, I mean, he's a good friend, and I think he's a Zulu. He's a real Zulu, Zulu of the Zulus. And how on earth can they deny that he is black? And so then you say, but Clinton, no, Clinton's really a black president, and Hillary Clinton's a black presidential candidate, but they look white to me.
Mm.
No, but you see, it's not biological. It's forget the facts. So it's not, they don't really care about black people. They care about communist goals.
Mm.
And so a white person promoting communist goals is honorary black.
Mm.
A black person who thinks for himself and denies all this and is successful in his field, such as a neurosurgeon like Ben Carson, no, he's not really black. So when you get down to it, this is camouflage. It's not really about the race. It's all about the revolution.
Yes, yes. What was it that you said earlier? The issue is never the issue. The issue is the revolution.
Right.
That is the issue.
And this is another more recent example that I can give about the examples that my dad has been giving. What did Joe Biden say to Officer Tatum? He was on a, was it Instagram Live or
it was
a Zoom meeting?
Charlemagne the God.
Yes.
Right, Charlemagne
he said,
God.
You need to figure out if you are for me, Joe Biden, or Trump. And if you vote for Trump, you are not black.
Yeah,
this was what, a month ago?
Right. A few weeks ago.
So if anyone is thinking that this reality isn't around anymore, no, these are old facts. It's happening right now. It's a full reality. And this is slightly off topic, but I just want to bring light to the fact of how quickly manipulation happens through the media, and particularly in America. Look how easy it was for the puppet masters to get hundreds of thousands of people to post a black square. A couple of weeks ago, those same people were wearing masks. No stay-at-home hashtags this week? These are signs of how quickly people can be manipulated by the cable. What was the predominant, what was the only story happening in America? Coronavirus.
Right.
Don't go outside. If you go outside, you're selfish. You're going to kill your grandma. You need to wear a mask. You can't go for a walk. You can't socially distance yourself at the beach. That's ridiculous.
Right.
And within, what, 20 hours, coronavirus completely out the window. This whole George Floyd incident, this whole Black Lives Matter incident, this whole protest thing. That is the only thing that you are seeing in the media. Americans still aren't allowed to go to church, because they won't be social distancing. But you can have thousands of people, mobs in the streets. No issue with that. Who's controlling the media? Who's the puppets? Who are the sheep?
Indeed, the sheeple, as they say, because the same people who applauded police brutality when it came to locking up lockdown rebels who were jogging, surfing, or playing in the park with their own daughter, and they get locked up, or a business owner who's trying to run a business, they're the ones who suddenly outraged when there's police brutality in this area, but they support police brutality in so many others. They want the police to close down your business and to close down your church and to arrest people for going to church or the park. And next thing, they're upset when police brutality is done. But they've been promoting police brutality. What we really should have is municipalities running their own police force, where the police are answerable to that community. Those police will not be abusing their power if they come from that community and they're answerable to that community and paid by that community. So I think decentralization is the answer. Centralization is the problem. And yet, what have we been getting under this COVID-19 lockdown? It's been, they've taken the model from Red China, the most totalitarian dictatorship, human rights abusing government on the planet, and they're imposing that lockdown on the whole world. And basically, this is a World Health Organization mandated lockdown. It's not people in Cape Town deciding what we should do. This is somebody in World Health Organization determining, telling their puppets in Pretoria what to tell the people in Cape Town, or Calvinia for that matter. So let's go back to minding our own business, running our own communities. Centralization is a bad idea. Maybe we should all go the way of secession and independence and decentralization.
100%. This is a post that I saw. A man named Tyler, he said, "I don't get all this Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, don't matter divide. I've been around here since 1956. I've never been to jail. All I see now are these youngins running around and getting shot because they think they can do whatever they want. That's not how it works. But you can't tell them that. If you do, you're rude or racist. I know what real racism looks like, and I haven't seen the likes of that ugly face in years. What needs to happen is unity. Respect your fellow man, and 99% of the time, they'll respect you back. I'm living proof of that." This is an OG Black American guy in America. What are these mobs going to say to that? Yeah? What do you do when you throw facts at them?
Well, what they do is they just ignore you and keep on walking by.
Or fight you, or burn you, or shoot you, or shame insults you.
Right. If there's a phone recording, they just walk on by or throw insults your way, because they have nothing else to do. Facts, or they're kryptonite. They either burn you or loot you. So take George Floyd out of the equation, the whole situation. You get Black Lives Matter protesting and rioting during the lockdown. What happens? Nothing happens. The Democrats or liberals or whatever they're called in the USA will use the police force to oppress those rioters during a lockdown. They were doing it for walking on the sand of the beach, for riding your bike, for everything. So 20 hours later, it's the cops are evil.
Yeah.
And
the same cops who they were praising for locking people up for
2 days
earlier.
Exactly. Yeah. The cops are, so it shows it's just about a narrative, and they all move with the same words and mindset in all these different places in America and states. So it's a
cult. It's a mantra.
Yeah, it's a calculated movement, because they all say the same things and are moving the same way. Now they all hate the cops.
Now, for a person to make sense of all this, because this really looks like a Monty Python script gone wrong and some weird futuristic dystopian society where you think, you've got to be kidding, that's not possible. But to make sense of this, one needs to understand some books like 1984 by George Orwell, and to understand how people can be mobilized to hate week. And this is what we're in right now. We're in hate week. To focus people's anger and frustration away from those who are really destroying their finances and futures, the big brother, who's always watching, would redirect the people into 2 minutes hates, and then sometimes hate week with a whole week. And you've seen hate weeks every now and then. This is a hate week, maybe a hate 2 week. But this is psychological warfare. It's psyops. And there's a couple of concepts that help us understand Stockholm syndrome, gaslighting, guilt manipulation. In the army, the shorthand is psyops. But I think many people would be really angry if they realized how they're being lied to and how they're being used.
And how quickly they conform.
Yes. And to understand that this is actually orchestrated and planned, and it's been warned about, I don't think the vast majority of protesters, rioters, looters, arsonists understand the foundational role of Karl Marx and what they're doing.
Right.
They may not be consciously aware of how they're just cannon fodder for the communist revolution, or understand the role that they're playing in the Communist Manifesto of 1848. And I doubt that 1 in 1,000 of these rioters and protesters have heard of Antonio Gramsci or Herbert Marcuse or Georgi Lukacs or the Frankfurt School of Marxism, of cultural Marxism. But the fact is, they are advancing the goals of the Communist International, the Comintern, which has been planned for a long time. Anarchy prepares the way for tyranny. And Black Lives Matter is teaching cultural Marxism, critical race theory, straight from the Frankfurt School, which denies personal responsibility, teaches that some races are good, some races are evil. And they teach a gospel, a false gospel of victimization, resentment, riot, and revolution. And so Black Lives Matter, whether they fully realize it or not, are just a tool in the globalist arsenal of being able to create anarchy in the streets to prepare for greater tyranny from the globalization, New World Order crowd. Now, some people may say, whoa, that's a lot to handle. Where is this coming from? But there's things you need to look into. We've dealt with this in some previous programs. You can go back in the archives and from the front line. But bear in mind, before the French Revolution of 1789 and before the Bolshevik Revolution of 1917, economic anarchy, chaos, bankruptcy was the condition that preceded those revolutions. And so after this devastating lockdown, which has destroyed how many small businesses, and now the riots, how many small businesses, hundreds of thousands, have been devastated by the lockdown and by
the riots? Not even just the businesses, the people who use those businesses. Yes. You gave an example of someone destroying a bus lane or an actual bus. Who's that going to help? Huh? Yeah, you talk about Black Lives Matter. Those buses in those communities are going to affect those communities.
Right.
Yeah.
So these people who think that they are protesting for the people don't realize they're being used by globalists to bring greater oppression and tyranny for the people. Anarchy leads to tyranny.
Mm. We're starting to run a bit low on time, so I want to get to my final, more or less, topic. Is there any bit of positivity that we can take from this? One. Two, as Christians, and kind of related to that, as white people, I don't know if we should even divide it like that. We should just look at it as people. What can we learn from this? What can we do to help? Because obviously racism is a bad thing, but I don't think this is the reality of what they're fighting. So what can we do as Christians, as bystanders, as people in an actual African country to deal with this?
Well, the first thing is we bow to Christ and Christ alone. We confess our sins direct to God, not to some revolutionary on the streets. Mm. And as the Bible tells us, that I have reserved 7,000 in Israel who have not yet bowed the knee to Baal nor kissed his image. And so that's in Kings 19:18. And that was when Elijah was complaining, I am left, you know. Everyone is compromised. But that's not true. There's thousands who hadn't bowed the knee then, and there's hundreds of thousands, maybe millions today, who haven't bowed the knee either. Even though the impression given, if you're watching the Clinton News Network and the Bolshevik Broadcasting Corporation,
the majority of people support this BLM movement.
Your screen is filled with it, and so you may assume, but actually it's deception operation. Mm. And so the situation is by no means as bad as they think, and there's a lot of people who've got backbone. And to have the courage to stand against the flow is difficult. The Bible tells us in Exodus, do not follow the majority when they're wrong. Mm. And so it takes no courage to kick a dead dog, and it takes no courage to flog a dead horse, which is what they're doing. Because, in fact, I've found that the biggest racists, the worst racists, are the ones screaming racist all the time. Mm-hmm. And, in fact, how can you fight racism with racism? Black Lives Matter claims to be fighting racism, but actually they're using racism to advance their cause, by stereotyping one group as victims, the other group as oppressors, and by suggesting that a black person's self-image is so fragile that it needs some white to come and self-affirm him, is garbage. Christians don't find their identity in their race. They find their identity in Christ. Mm.
Yes, here's an example I'd like to give. This is one that's been making the rounds on the internet, particularly for people my age. They are saying all lives matter instead of saying black lives matter is stupid. If you are standing in your streets and the house opposite yours is on fire and the fireman comes and you ask the fireman, what are you doing? And the fireman says, oh, I'm going to go put out the fire in that house. And you say, oh, well, what about my house? My house should be looked after. And then the fireman replies, no, your house isn't on fire at the moment. I'm just going to attend to his. But the reality is, when you put that into race, we are all in the same burning house.
Right.
You can't say that it's only black people that are suffering, or it's only white people that need to make the change. We're all in the same situation. Well, yes.
And I've been a fireman, and I think the people using this analogy are missing the point. There are people out there who are arsonists throwing firebombs and petrol bombs and Molotov cocktails and burning and looting shops, and they try to suggest this. Well, I'd say, are you on the side of the fireman, or are you on the side of the arsonist? Because these are the people who are starting the fires, not putting them out.
Mm.
And I also think, as Christians, as you brought up the question earlier, we are not obliged to pick a side, to join a side. The Black Lives Matter people are proud of who they are.
Mm.
They're out there. They're shouting it on the streets. You know. So as a Christian church, us as the church. We should, the only thing we can be and be as effective is by being the church. And we put forth, you know, we put forth the love of Christ out there, and we put forth the statutes of Christianity. And it's no use succumbing to mob pressure from protesters saying, Christians, join us because...
white people, join us.
Right, so we need 50 people for a photo op behind a certain...
Black Lives Matter banner.
Right. Mm. That's not an option for us. That's not an option that's only left for us. We are the church. We are the pulse of a nation. When we die or keep quiet about a topic, the nation will die with it.
Then what do you think is something that we, like you and me, we are in the younger generation.
Right.
What can we do, like, with our social media or with our views, knowing that if we even post on our Instagram story, we know that we're going to get hate. So what is something that we can do? Because an example that I always remember is you can't reason with an angry person.
Right.
So what is something that we can do?
A suggestion that could be made is that you could be as someone who's not for Black Lives Matter, but you know that if you post something, you will be attacked. As the best thing you can do is provide a platform for a debate and a discussion, because that's the only place where our brains will be sane and calm to meet, and
in a neutral environment.
Right, in a neutral environment. So you provide a platform. For example, if you post a status as a question, and then you obviously you'll have these strong opinionated people comment, and that's when you will facts will be laid out next to feelings and emotion and exaggeration. So people themselves will be reading these things and they've seen the facts next to the mantra and the spice of the
mob rule.
Right. Yeah. So just by them viewing for themselves, that can help. And that's the best thing you can do, because talking to someone that's outraged and is not willing to listen because he thinks you're racist because you didn't post a black square, you're not going to win that.
Hmm.
So approach carefully and cautiously.
Yeah. Well, I think we've only just brushed the top of this topic, and we have about 3 minutes left. So, Dad, I want to leave it up to you. What is something that we can do moving forward, learning from this, practical examples or even biblical references that we can use for this?
Well, apathy is our greatest enemy. Adversity can be an ally. And these are days of adversity, and this is a good time for evangelism, because again, we've had a lot of people living comfortable lives, living in comfortable homes, traveling in comfortable cars to comfortable shopping centers and comfortable churches. Well, now the churches are closed, the shopping centers are often locked down, the car might not be allowed to move, but a whole lot of things have been disrupted. Now, suddenly, after all this trauma of the lockdown, you've suddenly got this trauma of the violence, which might have even happened in many of our listeners' neighborhoods. And, well, we've lived with this all our lives in Africa. We know what it's like to have riots and violence and terrorism and so on, and threats. And so this is an excellent time for evangelism, because the biggest problem you've got out there is people saying, I'm okay, I'm a good person. And so at this point, when it's obvious our societies are sick, and there's a lot of evil going on, and people who thought, you know, I'm a good parent, I'm sending my child to the state school to get a good education, and now they should be saying, whoa, what kind of education are my children getting? What are they teaching there? Maybe I should consider home education. Maybe I should look at the textbooks. And also looking at the TV, and it should be obvious, you're being lied to. You're being manipulated. And who likes being lied to and used and abused? And so I think there's a good time to get people to consider, what education are you and your children receiving? And what news sources are you trusting for what's going on in the world? And what form of entertainment are you allowing to come into your home and your heart and your head? And is your church on the cutting edge, using these opportunities for evangelism and applying the Lordship of Christ to all areas of life? Do you understand the times? Do you know what God wants his people to do? And this is an excellent time for evangelism, for discipleship, for applying the Word of God to all areas of life. We just posted one of our messages on our website on God's law or chaos, which I think is more relevant now than when it was preached, because that's the plain choice in Deuteronomy. These are the blessings of obedience. For a nation, these are the curses of disobedience. And right now, if you look down Deuteronomy 28 on the curses light, it looks like, wow, that's afflicting quite a few of our nations right now. Mm. And if we want to get in the blessing side, well, if my people are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin and heal their land. So if we want God to heal our land, and do our lands need healing? Well, we need God to hear our prayers. And he says he will not hear our prayers unless he can forgive our sin. And he will not forgive our sin until we humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. So those people have been guilty of the sin of silence, in the sense of trying to just stay out of it, or even compromising and going along and repeating the mantras. This is a good time for us to get back to remembering the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. What's our greatest priority? Keep our gospel focus, keep Christ-centered, keep Bible-based, apply the Lordship of Christ to all areas of life. And to do that, look at our www.frontlinemissionsa.org website. There's some excellent videos and articles on there to look at and to understand how to apply in these matters. And particularly in our Biblical Worldview Summit, you'll find a lot of the video lectures, presentations that there you'll find very helpful in making sense of the revolutionary agenda we're facing right now. So don't bow the knee. Don't go down the stream with the crowd, because even a dead fish can float downstream. This is a time for us to stand and speak up and speak out for Christ and not allow ourselves to be abused by political rabble rousers.
Right.
Well, thank you so much for that, and thank you for tuning in. I hope this podcast was a very helpful one, and yeah, God bless. Good night.